Father, we're ready to embark on the adventure of the lifetime called the Word of God. Father, we know that this Word is what's going to cause us to exist eternally with You. Matter of fact, when we stand before You, we have to give an account to everything concerning the Word of God and how we reacted and respond to it, and how we actually was a doer of it. And so this morning, Father, I pray that Your people will get a hold of what I'm sharing and run with it in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 8, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. And so we've been covering the issue of being a role model for the world. And last Sunday I touched on the fact that the Holy Spirit has a major role in our life to do this very thing, and that is to be the witness that God intends us to be. Two things took place in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. One was, it said they received tongues, and the other one is that they distributed on them in the form of little flames or fire above their head. And that is symbolic of saying that the Holy Spirit has two things that He does to our life. Number one, the baptism of the Holy Spirit sets a fire in you. And number two, the purpose of the Holy Spirit is to see to it that you have a direct and perfect way of communicating with the Father. That's why we call it the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and literally means to speak in other tongues. In Isaiah, I think it's chapter 11, verse 28, it's said that there's going to come a time period when we literally would receive a language that will impart to us correct doctrine or correct truth. It would be a doctrine that would be pure, and it would be predicated on the fact that it would be line upon line and precept upon precept. And, you know, revelation does come here a little and there a little. Have you noticed it doesn't come all at once, but here a little and there a little? And it's predicated on the basis of what man's able to receive at that time. Now, those of you that were not at Greg and Starlene's church there in the North End, I went into shock. I forgot who was sitting next to me. Was it you, Lonnie, or somebody was sitting next to me? And I leaned over, and maybe it was June or somebody. I leaned over and I said, "My gosh, he's covering my sermon." And we were talking about the Holy Spirit. And so I'm going to touch on some of the same things that he touched on, but I've touched on them before here. And matter of fact, afterwards, I went up to Doug Jones, and I shared with him some of my notes, and he goes, "Oh my gosh!" And I says, "Well, isn't that amazing, Doug, that we would be so close?" And he says, "No, it's not. Same Holy Ghost." I said, "That's true." Matter of fact, when we were up in Cannon Beach, I asked one minister by the name of John Housing from Canada to bring forth a message. And then I asked one of the local pastors to bring forth a message. And I went into shock how they even used the same scriptures. They were almost just, it was powerful. And so one started something, the other one finished it. It was just really great. So how many of you know when the Holy Ghost is in the ability to teach and instruct, we all come from the same understanding of the same format almost. And then, of course, last night when Doug taught, I sat there and I hung my head. I forgot who I was sharing with, but somebody said, "Oh, what are you going to go into next after this series?" And I said, "I'm going to go into the love of God." And by gosh, if Doug Jones didn't have my notes again. So it gave me an opportunity to ask him some questions and everything, and he confirmed some things. But anyway, I said all that to say this, that the Holy Spirit, when it comes upon you, it says you shall be witnesses. You shall be witnesses. That is a pretty profound statement. It literally is literally amplifying the fact that when the Holy Spirit is a part of your life daily, then He will make you a good witness. Amen? And so in saying all that, I want to capitalize on two things that are important to understand. Number one, and again, I've taught this to you here, that the work of the Holy Spirit is actually a function that works through us. And I call that the gifts of the Spirit as He wills. This is where the Holy Spirit will work through us in the supernatural, or the gifts of the Spirit. And this is as He wills. Not as we will, but as He wills. Then the second form of the Holy Spirit, and this is the one that is not really promoted very much, because it just seemingly doesn't have a glory that comes with it, but it does have a glory that comes with it, and that is the Holy Spirit at work within us, and this is as we will, and not as the Holy Spirit, but this is as we will. This is where 1 John chapter 2, 27 through chapter 3, verse 1, 2, and 3, this is where it talks about the Holy Spirit's ability to work within us. And this is where we taught on 1 John. Remember when we went through the 1 John series, I said in the book of 1 John, the Holy Spirit is not portrayed as a comforter. He's portrayed as a teacher. He's called the Spirit of Truth. And this is where He works in the heart of every believer. Now, one thing that you'll find when Jesus was talking about the Holy Spirit in John chapter 14, John chapter 15, and John chapter 16, there are several passages, and they're consistent, in John chapter 14, verse 16, and verse 26, He's called the Spirit of Truth. This is where you find over in 1 John, where it says, the Spirit of Truth, whom we've received. Then, in John chapter 15, verse 26, and John chapter 16, verse 13, all four of these places, He's referred to as the Spirit of Truth, as the Spirit of Truth. Number one, He will teach you all things. He will guide you into all truth. In other words, He is to come to teach you all things and to guide you into all truth. Number two, and this is an important one, it says He will testify of me. And I thought this was very interesting. The word testify is the Greek word witness. So He will testify or bear witness of me. So when you have the Holy Spirit at work within your heart, this connects right with verse 8 of Acts chapter 1. It says, and you shall be witnesses. Why? Well, the first thing the Holy Spirit will do is He will bear witness of Jesus. And that is so that you can conform into the same witness. Amen? And so, number two, He will testify of me. And I want us to go to John chapter 15. I want us to go there. I want to show you something that when I saw it, I went, wow, I've never really had seen that or take notice about that before. But when he said this, the Spirit of Truth, when He comes, He will testify of me. Notice verse 26 of John chapter 15. Go there. Everybody there? Everybody there? Okay. In John chapter 15, verse 26, it says, but when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of Truth who proceeds from the Father, He will testify of me, or He will bear witness of me in your heart. And notice verse 27. I like verse 27. And you also will bear witness, because you had been with me from the beginning. Notice what? You will also bear witness. You know, I don't know about you. The 12 disciples, they were blessed. They had the personal living witness of Jesus. But did you know that you can have him today? And you can see him clearly. And the same thing you and I can claim is that not only will he bear witness or testify of the Lord Jesus, but I also will bear witness with what he testifies of. Got it? So, those four things, there's four things. The third one is he'll bring all things to your remembrance. This is a very interesting statement here. He'll bring all things to your remembrance. When Doug was speaking on that, he didn't touch on this part, what it literally means to bring all things to your remembrance. Well, when you read it in the Greek, it's very interesting, the tense, the voice, and the mood in which it's given gives clarity to what he's talking about there. So the first two things, he'll teach you all things and he'll guide you into all truth. He will testify or bear witness of Jesus, and we also will bear witness of it. And he will bring all things to your remembrance. This is a very, very interesting clause. Matter of fact, bring all things to your remembrance is actually three different words brought together in a very interesting statement. This literally means that when he brings all things to your remembrance, it literally means he will remind you of your oneness with him. He will remind you of your oneness with him. You know what that means? It means that when we're walking with the Holy Spirit, we could lose a little bit of witnessing or a little bit of the testimony of Jesus, and he'll bring back to our remembrance our connection directly with him. So that it will, in essence, be, or another term I could use, when he says bring all things to remembrance, meaning he will literally convict you in heart when you get off course. Amen. Amen. Well, I see you're all really... You see, I used to look at that word bring all things to remembrance as when I forget something. Well, it dawned on me that's what it means, when you forget something. You know, sometimes we forget that we're supposed to be a witness to the Lord. He will remind you of that. Amen. Because the structure there is in the Greek literally means to remind a person of the oneness that he's joined to. I guess that's the best way I could put it. And the fourth thing is that he will show you things to come. Now, this is an area that when you're not filled with the Holy Spirit on a daily basis, do you know there's a lot of things you could miss that's coming up in your life that could surprise you? You know, I don't believe that the Holy Spirit's job is to reveal everything to you. I mean, because he didn't call us to be puppets on strings, you know what I mean? But I think that there's a natural thinking that God can flow with without necessarily being led of every little thing that you think with. I know some Christians are that way. To me, that's a religious spirit about them. I don't do nothing except for what the Holy Spirit tells me to do. I look at them and I think, some of the dumb things they've done, did the Holy Spirit lead them to do that? Forgive me, I'm not talking about you guys. Well, that was a lie. Some of you have told me that, and I've wondered, well, then why did you get into the fix you got into? You know, did the Holy Spirit lead you to that? To teach you something? But literally, he's literally saying that he will show you something that's up ahead so that you're not caught off guard. And I don't believe he's talking about having guests over to your house and you forget Diet Pepsi or Diet Coke. You know, I'm not referring to that. But I'm talking about there are critical things that can come across your path in life that he needs to alert you to. Such as making important decisions in your life that could change your life if you don't choose the right thing. especially in the area of relationships. Oh my gosh, that's an important one. Number two, financial decisions. Because if you're not careful in relationship decisions and in financial decisions, it can shipwreck you spiritually and physically. Are you following me? And some believers get into the fix they got into is because they have not allowed the Holy Spirit to show them things to come. And I also believe that this means when you're going to make wrong decisions, that He will work in such a way that you'll make the right decision. Because not everything in the Bible about your particular life is spelled out. But everything in Scripture is unique because it can apply directly to you. And the Holy Spirit has to connect those things to you. Remember, how many of you know that the basic thing that you inherit when you are baptized in the Holy Spirit is called an inner witness? It's called the game show button. It goes, neat. Now, some of you probably don't know what that is all about. But there is a connection in you that will give you a quickening that something is not right or it's something you shouldn't do or bear witness with. That is a very basic thing every believer inherits. And it's funny that if you learn to quench that witness, that inner witness, you'll be found very unfaithful and you will run into problems you don't know how to recover from. Those are the two things that I've noticed about Christians that do not go by the basic inner witness. Number one, well, I'm going to get ahead of myself here. I don't want to do that. But the Holy Spirit, when He says He'll show you things to come, it literally means that He will be your foresight on very critical issues in your life. And that comes through that basic witness a lot of times. And it doesn't necessarily mean that all people that you fellowship with are wrong. Sometimes you're not complete in your ability to fellowship, and the check will be because you could break a continuity that you could have with people by staying at a distance for a while until something in you gets adjusted. It's not always necessary because somebody else is negative. I learned that the hard way pastoring. So those four things. He'll teach you all things and guide you into all truth. And number two is a very important one. He will bear witness of the person of Jesus in your life. In other words, you will literally see what Jesus is all about. Some Christians go through life and never get that part of the Holy Spirit working in their heart. They don't know Jesus from their Heavenly Father. And they think they do, but they don't. He brings all things to remembrance. He sharpens your conviction, your heart, and then He shows you things to come. Now, notice John chapter 14. Turn there. John chapter 14. We can't talk enough on this. But in John chapter 14, I want us to read something that's very interesting. Let's read verse 16 and verse 17. And I will pray the Father, and He will give you another helper, that He may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because... Now notice the why the world can't receive it. Because it neither sees Him nor knows Him. But you know Him, for He dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Now notice what He said about the world. The world cannot receive what? Cannot receive the Spirit of truth because He neither sees Him nor knows Him. Now, did we not establish that in Scripture? Notice, He said the Holy Spirit, whom the world can't see or know. But guess what? We can see Him and we can know Him. Why? Because we're called believers. Which brings up three things that are mentioned here about the Holy Spirit or the Spirit of truth. Number one, He goes on to say, He's going to do something. The Holy Spirit is going to do something in the world. Hello? He's going to do something in the world. Somebody said, well, what is that? Well, turn over to John chapter 16 and let's see what the Holy Spirit is going to do in the world. Okay? Now, we just read the world can't receive Him because it can't see Him. It doesn't even know He exists. Doesn't know Him. Did we not read in 15 there? Did we not establish that? Okay. Now, over here, He says something very interesting in John chapter 16 about the Holy Spirit. And when He has come, He will convict. Convict who? The world of sin. Pardon me, but I was reading here where it said the world cannot see Him or know Him. And now you come jumping over here and you say all of a sudden He's going to convict the world of sin. Why? Well, of sin because they don't believe. Right? Number two, of righteousness. Why? Because they don't see Him. They don't see Him. Now, isn't that weird? How the Holy Spirit in chapter 15 says the world can't know Him or even see Him. But when we jump over into these verses, kind of, well, the world's seeing something. Well, first of all, it's seeing the ability of knowing what sin is all about. You guys are here this morning, amen? Everybody say this, amen? I'm here. Thank you. That helps me a little bit here. I don't want to be preaching to doorknobs, you know. Now notice what he goes on to say. The world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Three things that the Holy Spirit is going to work in the world. Number one, of sin. Number two, of righteousness. And number three, of judgment. Why? Because the ruler of this world is judged. Do you know some Christians don't know that? They don't know the judgments of God. And they don't know how they fall. Some Christians seem to think that God is judging sinners by catastrophes. You know why they do that? Because they don't know the Lord. And listen. These three things, of sin because they don't believe, of righteousness because they don't see Him, and of judgment because the ruler of this world has been judged. Isn't that interesting? Well, if that's the case, let's read here on a little further. He says, of judgment because the ruler of this world is judged. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth, for He will not speak of His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will tell you things to come. That's why the Holy Spirit is such a good communicator, because He's a good listener. Now watch this. He will glorify Me, for He will take of what is Mine and declare it to you. Notice He says He will take of Mine and declare it to you. You know why this almost seems contradictory? Because the Holy Spirit has a specific function within us, even upon us. Amen? Now, the world doesn't because it can't see Him or know Him. But I thought it was very interesting when He says, but He does something in the world. He does three things. He convicts the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. You know those are three important things for the world to know? Did you know that? Well, as you read on here, notice this. However, when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all truth. Now, He shifts from what the Spirit is going to do in the world to you. He shifts right over to you. And he says, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak and he will tell you things to come. For he will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare to you, all things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you. Now notice this. A little while and you will not see me. And again a little while and you will see me because I go to the Father. Then some of his disciples said among themselves, what is this that he says to us? A little while and you will not see me. And again a little while and you will see me because I go to the Father. They said therefore, what this is that he says a little while, and we do not know what he is saying. Now Jesus, when they desired to ask him, and he said to them, are you inquiring among yourselves about what I said? A little while and you will not see me, and again a little while and you will see me. Most assuredly I say to you that you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice, and you will be sorrowful, but your sorrow, notice this, will be turned into joy. A woman, when she is in labor, has sorrow because her hour has come. But as soon as she had given birth to the child, she no longer remembers the anguish for the joy that a human being has been born into the world. Therefore, you now have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart will rejoice, and your joy no one will take from you. Isn't that interesting? Your joy no one will take from you. Bing! Then what in the world am I doing letting the world rob me of joy? But I throw that in there. I'm going to answer that in a minute. And in that day you will ask me nothing. Most assuredly I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. Until now you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. Ho ho. Now, here's the point I'm trying to make. That after he said what the Holy Spirit's job in the world would be, to convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment, and we had read previous to this that the world can't see him or know him, but you know what, people? The world can see the work of the Holy Spirit in the world of sin and of righteousness and judgment. How? Because you will see the witness of Jesus to portray it to them. That's how that is made complete. It is a fact of the Holy Spirit at work in your heart. Are you guys following me? This is good stuff whether you like it or not. But he did say, you shall be my witnesses. That means when the Holy Spirit goes to work in your heart, you're going to be a good witness. What happens if you run across a believer that's a lousy witness? The Holy Spirit is not at work in his heart because he's not full of the Holy Spirit daily. That's why it says, be ye filled daily with the Holy Spirit. You know what that means? It means to allow the completeness of the Holy Spirit to work in your heart on a daily basis. Why? Because God wants you to be a good witness of his Son, whom you're supposed to see clearly. And if you are not seeing him clearly, he gonna bring back to remembrance the oneness that you have with him. Are you guys getting this? So, we got the Holy Spirit doing something. Now here's what he's going to do so you will be a good witness in the world. The Holy Spirit's number one job from verse 21 to 24 are three things. Three things. Your heart will not be troubled. I'm going to tell you, in a troubled world, people want to know where your peace comes from. Why are you so peaceful about it? Why can't you? You know, emotional people, people that are moved by emotions, they look at you like you just don't care. Till you get emotionally involved in the same, what are we going to do? Do you know what we're going to do? No, I do not. Well, then how can you be at peace? Well, I don't know it right now, but I know when I need it, it's going to come. It's going to come. What's going to come? What to do? Y2K. I walked into Dietmann's one day and I looked at all the Y2K packages and I just shook my head. And I said, somebody's going to make a pile of money off this. And one person says, well, how can you say that? And I say, because there ain't going to be nothing happen when the hour of midnight strikes. You guys, did I ever jump up here and say, buy land, store food, your laptop is going to crash and bring in a whole world on us? I don't read in any literature that says, and thou shalt perish by the internet. I know a lot of Christians that are perishing because of the internet. I had total peace. Matter of fact, I went to God, and it was like He was ignoring me. And I said, Lord, how come you don't answer my question about this 2000 crash? He says, well, I don't need to give it any thought. And me not being a real computer guy, you know, that's not hard for me. Somebody said, you're computer illiterate. I said, I resent that. I don't like the word illiterate, but it's true. So, number one, your heart will not be troubled. That's when you walk in the fullness of the Holy Spirit daily. Your heart will not be troubled. Do you know the world has an evil of its own? Have you guys ever figured that one out yet? Well, one thing, the Holy Spirit's ability to stabilize you as a witness in this world is, number one, He's got to make sure that your heart will not be troubled. That is one way of being a good witness. Number two, what you ask for, He will give it to you in His name. But that's good news. Not only will He see to it my heart is covered, but whatever I need, He's going to see to it I get it. Isn't that good? That's the second thing that the Holy Spirit's going to do. We find this in John chapter 16, verse 21 through 24. And I like this last one. He will complete a joy in you. He will complete a joy in you. In other words, the Holy Spirit will impart to you a fullness of your cup of joy. You'll have a joy in the Holy Ghost. That's the word pleroo, which literally means to fill up to the brim. You know, God doesn't have an empty cup for you. God doesn't have a quarter or third or half. He wants to see to it your cup is full. Amen. So you can't put any more in it. And then what He'll do is He'll keep adding to it till it runs over the brim and onto the hands. I like that sloppy kind of joy. Now, this is the maintenance of the Holy Spirit for you in this world. That is the maintenance of the Holy Spirit. Why? Because in order for you to be a good witness, you've got to have a peace at work in your heart. In order to be a good witness, the Lord has to make sure that you're provided for whenever you ask Him for something. And another thing that will make you a good witness is if the joy of the Lord is full in your heart while you're walking on planet E-A-R-T-H. I spelled that right, didn't I? Earth. Woo, those three things. I like that. I like that. Glory to God. Boy, He makes you a winner, especially when you look at those four things that He does in you, and then the three things of the maintenance of His ability. Some Christians say, I did not understand why I don't have the joy of the Lord that I once had. Because you vacated Him. You got to be dwelling with Him on a daily basis. You can't have the Holy Spirit show up when you're in a catastrophe. How is He going to show you things to come when the catastrophe hits you? Now show me what to do. Oh, brother. So, the Holy Spirit is directly connected with us to give us the ability to be witnesses. And I like those last three. Don't you? Think about it for a minute. Praise the Lord. He will not let my heart be troubled. You know, a troubled heart's not a good witness. Somebody said, well, how do you stay in peace? Well, that's simple. You go over in the Old Testament, it says, He will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. The only time, some Christians, the only time they ever think about God is in a crisis. You know what that's doing? Looking for your heart to be troubled so you can cry out to God and ask for something. That's not what our Bible teaches. It first of all teaches that the Holy Spirit will work in you on a daily basis to keep your heart free from trouble so that whatever you ask for, He's going to see to it that you have need of that thing. Why? To complete a joy in you. And that's why the Bible is very clear in all several epistles. Be full of the Spirit daily. Be filled up with the Holy Ghost daily. I asked one brother, I says, why don't I ever see you in church? You know what he said to me? Aw, cares of the world. Aw. I said, thank you. You answered that one. I'll never substitute the care of this world for my walk with the Holy Spirit. And they do come. The cares of the world do come. Well, if they come, what do you need? You need a heart that's not troubled. You also need to know that the Holy Spirit is going to see to it you get what you ask for in His name. And also He will see to it that you're on fire for the Lord. His joy will be complete in you. Isn't that good stuff? Now, in closing, go to John chapter 15. John chapter 15, verse 12. And this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends. And if you do whatever I command you, no longer do I call you servants. For a servant does not what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. Isn't that a beautiful statement? What a wonderful Lord. What a wonderful Lord. But notice what he said in verse 12. This is my commandment, that you love one another, and I want you to underline this, as I have loved you. Isn't that good? In order to understand what it means to be a good role model, what also will help you and I to know is not only the Holy Spirit's ability for us to be that witness. What's added to it is how God loved us. Most Christians don't know how God loved them. Most Christians only see love from a human viewpoint. They don't see it from a godly viewpoint. Now, much to my surprise, several years ago, I shared this with John. Do you remember that scripture I quoted to you about the sinner's agape? There was a scripture, I can't remember what that scripture, but it threw me off guard. Because sometimes knowing the Greek can be a real problem. Especially when you're in the conservative Greek and you know that if it's conservative, it's more or less God. Do you know that the world can agape? Are you guys all still with me? Don't get out and leave. Do you know there are lots of scriptures that says that an unbeliever can agape? But Pastor Jan, isn't agape a new love that God introduced to the world? Not really. It is not. It's my breath. Sometimes I smell my own breath. I got to take a minute. Yeah, you're welcome. The world, Pastor Jan, the world can agape. Mm-hmm. But do you know what that means? Mm-hmm. Have you really studied agape?
Mm-hmm.
Well, what did you get out of it? Blew me away. How can the world have that kind of love in them? I found out how. You will be very interested to know. So part of being a good witness for the Lord is not only the Holy Spirit's ability to testify of Jesus and to mimic Him in your action and your speaking and everything so that you are an effective witness. But also another thing that you have to understand about being a good role model is to understand the love of God versus the love of the world. And until you understand the love of God and how it's appropriated, you will not be a very effective witness to the world. Matter of fact, you as a believer, including moi, we will do things outside of love that will sacrifice the souls of men and not realize it. Simply because we don't understand the love of God at work in the heart. Most Christians do not understand the meaning of the love of God. And Jesus, He said here that you, He said it right here, we read it, that you, verse 12, that you love one another as I have loved you. So if the Holy Spirit's going to be a testimony or a witness or bear witness, the Holy Spirit is going to bear witness of the person of Jesus, guess what? Well, He's also going to show us or bear witness of the love of Jesus. And it is so sad, most Christians do not understand the love of Jesus. They only testify of a love that is human and not divine. And we have to understand that in order for us to be a more effective witness. You know, there are some people that have been demonically put into our life for the opportunity for us to grow in love. And I thought it was for the purpose of learning how to rebuke the devil. Before we dismiss, we have a hospitality room back there. And if you're just visiting or would like to meet me, and if you have any questions about the service, that's fine. But we'd like to get to know you. We've got some information we can give you. And be a thrill to meet you. Praise God. So when we dismiss the service, please go back there and by that door in the back there. It'd be on your right. It's on my left, right back there in the back. Just go back there and someone will meet you there. And we'll be glad to take you on the inside there of that beautiful room. Get to know you and give you some information. So at the end of the service, feel free to do that. If you've been here on several visits, but you haven't had the chance to go back there, well, I want to encourage you to do it. Hallelujah, if you'd like. That said and done, stand up, everybody. Did you guys get something here this morning? Hallelujah. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank You for Your wonderful people. Father, I thank You so much for them. Father, and the love that you have for them, and the Holy Spirit at work in their hearts. Father, I know that there's a work of the Holy Spirit that comes upon us, but I love the work of the Holy Spirit within us. And so, Father, as we continue on the subject of being a role model, Father, I pray that your people have the revelation of the importance of the Holy Spirit. And as I cover the issue of love, that they would get it and understand it as never before. Father, it's been freshly revealed to me. And so it'll be freshly revealed to them. Something I'd never seen before in my life. Father, may they get it. And so now that we're closing this service, is there be anybody here that has never had the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in that heavenly language? That's the first thing that will come with the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the power to communicate, especially beyond your own intellect. That is such a wonderful language, Father. It gives us an understanding of how to communicate with you so you can impart truth unhindered. Unhindered. So if you've never been baptized in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues, we would love to lay hands on you and let the Holy Spirit baptize you into the fullness of His presence. And if you're here and you've never committed yourself to the sinner's prayer, we would love to pray with you and get you to change from that old lifestyle to the new lifestyle. That is, that Christ would now live in you, and not just in your mind, but live in you, so that you would understand the fullness of Him. The Bible says you must be born again. Hallelujah. That is so important. You must be born from above. And I know the requirements of the new birth is that you have to make a decision to love light more than the darkness that you've been walking in. To deny the old life of darkness for the new life of light and illumination. And if you've been out of fellowship with the Lord and would like to restore that place with Him, we'd be glad to pray for you there as well. Because all of us stumble in many ways. All of us depart and stay at a distance from the Lord until the Holy Spirit has the opportunity to work again in our heart. Well, if He did that for you today, then please respond and let us pray with you and bring you back to that place of full fellowship with Him. In Jesus' name. And having said all that, when I dismiss, please feel free to come forward for those three areas in Jesus' name. Salvation, restoration of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father, for your word. I thank you, Father, that your word will work mightily in your people. And I pray that the words that I shared with them today will work in their heart in such a way that they will be a better witness in the future. And having said that, you're dismissed, and God bless you.